Welcome to the National Awakening Conference Call. I'm Bob Knight, Senior Fellow with STAND, and here's your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you, Bob, and thanks, everybody, for joining us. As always, we're so glad to have you on with us, and as always, we're going to do our very best to try to bring you leaders, thought and opinion leaders, and organizational leaders, and political officials who we think will encourage you and inspire you and inform you so that we can keep this movement going to save our country, because that's what this is ultimately all about. Our guest today is somebody I'll introduce in a second, but as always, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful for this wonderful nation you've given us. And Lord, we know that it is not delusional for us to say it is unique, it is exceptional, it is unlike any nation that's ever existed, has provided more freedom, more opportunity, more hope than any nation that's ever existed in human history. And Lord, we are grateful for that. But we have this call, and we're gathering together now because there are forces at work to destroy all of that, to undermine all of that, to change all of that, to change this constitutional republic into some sort of Marxist, socialist, atheist, secularist system that really is nothing but a glorified slave system that tries to control everything and everybody and tries to stamp out every vestige of faith and every vestige of individual liberty and responsibility that has made this nation great. And Lord, we are fighting that, and we're believing for the power to ultimately defeat that. We're believing for a great awakening in our country that would bring many people who are now opposing themselves, even though they don't know it, but bring many of them to the foot of the cross, bring many of them to repentance, and cause them to realize that this murder of unborn babies, this redefinition of sexual morality and gender, and this effort to try to suggest that industrialization and technical advancement is somehow the destruction of us all, and that we've got to turn back the hands of time and do away with fossil fuels and stop using gas stoves. They basically set themselves up as demigods who know best for everybody and know what needs to be done in everything. And all we need to do is surrender our freedom, surrender our liberty to them, surrender our government to them, and they will make everything utopian. And Lord, we know that that's always the pathway to genocide, the pathway to mass murder and destruction. So we pray that you'll help us to stop these forces. We can't do it alone. We've seen it march for a generation or more. And Lord, we've got to stop the march, and we're asking for your help in doing so. Thank you for those people on this call, Lord, who are on the front lines of this battle. Thank you for our guest speaker, Dr. Max Lyons, who has been on the front lines for many, many decades and just standing up and for education as it ought to be, rather than the indoctrination system that people are now trying to turn it into. So, Lord God, use him and use all of us in our respective fields of action to do what is necessary to be good stewards of this great gift you've given us called the United States of America, that we might preserve it as a constitutional republic, the land of the free and the home of the brave. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Folks, our guest today is someone that I have frankly admired and drawn from for a long time. He has been helping me and my wife to get our school started and giving us advice and counsel. He is the Director of Teaching Services at the Foundation for American Christian Education and has a long, illustrious history in education. And this is National School Choice Week. We couldn't have a better guest on to talk about alternatives to the nonsense that we see going on in our public schools all across the country, Dr. Max Lyons. And Max, thank you so much for joining us, taking time to be with us. The floor is yours, my friend.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, Bishop Jackson and everybody that's on the line. Again, I'm Max Lyons. I'm the Director of Teaching Services here at the Foundation for American Christian Education. And if you're like me, sometimes you don't know an organization, you Google it right away. So face.net is the place to get to face. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about FACE, but we do have solutions in education because, you know, we got lots of problems, but we're, you know, Christians, we're in the solution business. So we work with homeschoolers and Christian schools and people. We have a program to help people start schools. It's called the Leading Schools Program, and we're blessed to partner with Theodora and E.W. Jackson and the Call Church to help them as they're planting their principal approach school right here in Chesapeake and others all over the country. We work with adult education and church education. You know, I like to say, FACE, we cover the ground from, doesn't matter the age, you know, whether you're an infant all the way up through 99 years old, we'll work with you, and the setting doesn't matter either, the home, the church, the school, university, everywhere where education is taking place, we have programs and services, and we'll assist you. But I was asked to talk about this. You know, this is National School Choice Week, so I was asked to talk about the topic of school choice, and it's a hot topic. You may have seen that Governor Youngkin issued a proclamation about School Choice Week. Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears offered a statement. Someone sent me that on Facebook. Lieutenant Governor Sears has also put forth a bill, HB 1508. It's called the Education Success Accounts. If you want to take a look at that, we'll circle back to that particular bill in my talk. But let me just talk a little bit about School Choice Week and school choice, what it is. Basically, School Choice Week, which is this week, January 22nd through 28th, is to raise public awareness and to let parents know about their options in K to 12 education, what options that are available for their children, and the whole idea of if we have choice in education. Broadly, that's what it's about. And, you know, we recognize the value of choice with where we live, with our career, with the church we attend, who we associate with, et cetera. But why must education be otherwise? You know, why, you know, we've got this one-size-fits-all model that we've had for a number of years since government education. And I refer to public education as government education, you know, sort of back in earnest back in the early 1800s, but we've kind of come down to it's, you know, your only choice for a lot of people is to go to the nearby school, you know, according to where you live. And so really it's not a whole lot of choice. You know, many families, you know, because of their lack of ability to afford in a private school or maybe the time to homeschool, you know, they've got to send their child 14 to 15 years to such and such a school. And that really is the discussion of school choice week and the whole idea of school choice. You know, the failure of public education in general, and not for every child in an academic sense, but in general, the failure of public education is no secret, especially spiritually in terms of worldview. And you know, every parent wants their child to succeed. Some parents like their given school, but many, some studies show that upwards of 75% or more would like options. You know, so what options do they have? This is what school choice addresses. So some have referred to school choice in terms of being a great demographic equalizer because, you know, if you have choice, that means, you know, if you don't have the funds that somebody else has to be able to afford a private education, you still have some choice. And I think it's vital to our nation because, you know, it's the idea of liberty being applied to the education of children. So think about it. You know, I've got four children, eight grandchildren, but as a parent, you know, Margie and I had complete liberty with how we raised our children, the standards that we had for them, their morals, their discipline, the development of their character, which we thought was the most important thing. how we provide for them, their food, their clothes, their home, you know, medical care and decisions, associations, you know, who they were associated with, friends, etc. So why should their schooling be any different? Why should we have choice over all those things and liberty over all those areas, but not their schooling? You know, why must parents have to send their money to the local, state, and federal government? We're taxed at least at three levels to support government schools. And then after our money's taken from us, we're told, you know, you must attend XYZ school and you have no other choice. So that's really what this concept of school choice is addressing, that dilemma. To back up just a little bit, what is school choice? Broadly, it encompasses all the options that parents have, other than the obvious of taxpayer-funded government schools, which everybody's familiar with. So it would include the options of Christian school, homeschool, hybrid. You know, there's some hybrids halfway between a school and a homeschool, where you go to school some days, but you're homeschooled other days. Charter schools are part of school choice. Online education, both Christian schools and public schools offer online education. So these are all aspects or major aspects of school choice. And the good news is that we can choose in one respect. Unlike some countries, any parent who's got their child in government school can vote with their feet, right? They can, you know, they can walk into the school office and say, in effect, you know, see you later, alligator. I'm done. You know, I'm leaving here. But then, so that's the good news. But the bad news is that the private options are not financed by the taxpayer, but by the parent. In the case of a school, you're going to have to pay private school tuition. In the case of homeschooling, you're going to have to pay with your time. You're going to have a parent that's able to homeschool the child, and that takes them out of the, generally takes them out of the workforce. So this is what we as parents are dealing with, and when we talk about school choice, we're really saying what options do parents have? And we're not talking about people with money. We're generally talking about people that don't have the resources to choose either homeschooling or private school tuition. By the way, if you're looking for a good online resource to understand school choice, I really like a site called EdChoice. That's E-D Choice. It has a real good lay of the land of choice options in all the 50 states in the country, because when you talk about school choice options, it's going to vary from state to state. There's 50 states. They all have different options. I'm here in Virginia. I'm familiar with the options here, but every state is different. So if you want to know what your state has in terms of educational choice, go to EdChoice. The question comes up, you know, what, when we get into school choice, is what school choice policy is going to be best for freedom of religion and best for freedom in general? Because we know that when government pays for something, that they want to control it. So now we have to get into the weeds of tax credits, educational savings accounts, and vouchers. Because when most people think about school choice, they're thinking about the funding aspect of it. They're thinking about how to fund education outside of government schools. And they're thinking, if they're a parent, they're thinking, well, what options are there for me that I can afford? So let's look at some of the numbers, because there's certainly enough money there to educate our children, way more than enough. But the way it's allocated is what we're really struggling with right now. So total expenditures for public elementary and secondary schools in the U.S. in the years 18 to 19 were $800 billion. And this amounts to almost $16,000, $15,621. So let's just say $16,000 per public school pupil enrolled. So let me ask you, and I have four children, what could you do with $16,000 per year per child for your child's education? Well, the answer is a lot, right? I had four children, so that would be $64,000 per year. And the school where my kids attended after homeschooled for a while, Stonebridge School here in Chesapeake, was only about $6,000 or $7,000 at that time. So so there's way more than enough money being available for the education of our children and being spent for the education of our children. And really the ideal would be, in my mind, biblically, that the government doesn't take our money, but it leaves it in our pocket. And we as parents could direct how that money is used to educate our children, just as we feed them and clothe them, et cetera. But the reality is that, you know, this is not going to happen anytime soon. I don't have any, you know, wild dreams that, you know, education is going to be totally taken away from government and all this, you know, money left in our pockets to educate our children. So there are programs and plans that move us in this direction of having more money, more of our own money to spend for our children's education. And we have one of those programs in Virginia. It's called the Broadly a Tax Credit Scholarship Program. A bill passed in 2012. I actually was part of I was in Richmond at the time lobbying for that with students in a Christian school, and lo and behold, after 10 years of trying, that bill passed, and we now have a tax credit scholarship program. Now let's be realistic. You know, there's as many versions of this program as other similar programs as there are states. And the devil is definitely in the details with these programs. But right now, as of right now, there are 21 states that have a tax credit scholarship program, and there are 9 states that have individual tax credit programs. Which, frankly, I like the individual tax credit program better than the tax credit scholarship program. But you know, so there's good, better, and best with these programs. But I really think that the solution to the funding aspect to you know, keep more of the dollars in our pocket rather than having our money go to the government and then come back to us in some form, that's really the essence of vouchers and educational savings account. The real solution to this that will work for all of us and will be best for freedom is in the tax law. So I will offer to you a resource. I'm involved with an organization called Christian Education Initiative, and we recently produced a small booklet on educational choice, and it's called Shekels with Shackles. And if you email me, max@face.net, I'll be happy to send you a PDF version. Or you could also go to christedu.org. That's the website for Christian Education Initiative. So, what is the solution to education as parents move their children out of public schools? I obviously have worked in Christian education, and I work in a specific aspect of Christian education and methodology known as the principal approach, and it's not widely known. So I always invite people to come to FACE, you know, contact me, buy some of our materials, come to some of our free webinars, and learn more about the principal approach education and the foundation for American Christian education, because again, we have solutions. We have many curricular items. We have programs to help schools to work with homeschoolers, and and we're here to serve you. So I just want to offer the Foundation for American Christian Education. There's many, many wonderful organizations out there serving Christian education. CEI, Christian Education Initiative, is another place that you can take a look at. There's 25 organizations, and we're all committed to biblical Christian education. So I know that was kind of a quick overview, but I'll stop there in the interest of time, and we can get into some questions and comments.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Max. Let me start off with a couple of questions. And folks, press star 6 to get in queue. Any questions you have about education in general? I have one, first of all, one question about education in general, about school choice first. What would you recommend for people who live in states where they don't have any kind of school choice program yet, and maybe there's a debate and there's some discussion? What would you recommend people go for? What's the ideal situation? Arizona, where I understand it, has got a system where they actually transfer $7,000 to the school of the parent's choice. In Virginia, like you said, we have a scholarship credit program, which works a little bit differently. It's more indirect. What would you recommend that people really shoot for as the best way of financing educational choice?
Well, this is like the $64,000 question, EW, and actually we're working within a Christian Education Initiative to address this very specifically. But let me see. It's easier to say what we don't want than what we want. What we don't want is our money going to the government and then coming back to us in some form. And generally that's what's called a voucher. These educational savings accounts, they sort of work like a voucher as well, because the Christian schools and the homeschoolers are really, they're wanting to get away from the government entanglement, the government involvement, and the government control. And when the money comes to them, the government, can you imagine that they're not going to want to try to enforce their, the LGBT standards on us, if we take $1 from them? I mean, it's unfathomable to think that they wouldn't do that. So the tax credit scholarship program that we have in Virginia, tax credit programs have been ruled by the Supreme Court to not be government money, because the money never leaves your pocket and goes to the government. It goes straight to the school or scholarship organization. So we want some form of that. And again, the lawyers, when they write these bills, it only takes one little tweak to take it from good to bad or bad to good. So we have to be very careful. The Christian schools and the homeschools, I can tell you, they don't want government. They don't want anything that's in the form of government money coming to them, because they're rightfully concerned about the control. So I know there's a lot of debate and discussion about that, and good people differ, but we want some form of the tax credit program where the money, I write my gift to the tax credit program right to a scholarship organization. It doesn't go to the state of Virginia and come back. And I get a credit on my Virginia taxes. So that's how that program works. And that's the kind of program that we want. Some version of that.
In other words, you want to eliminate government entanglement altogether. Initially, people talked about vouchers, what you're saying, but now they realize if it's coming directly from the government, then it's coming probably with some strings attached and some control involved. So that's what you want to stay away from.
Yes, sir.
My second question is this. I'm sure you saw the news. Governor DeSantis of Florida has just banned this AP course in Black history. He said because it's not about Black history. It's queer theory. It's intersectionality. And I'd go into a whole diatribe about that.
Yes.
Spend a couple minutes talking to us about what is a good education in this day and time. You talked about the principal approach. And here again, I know we don't have an hour to do this, but share a little bit what people ought to be looking for in terms of a solid education.
Well, thanks for that question, EW. We've gotten away from good education for so long. that we kind of don't even know what it looks like now. We've had government control for so long that we kind of don't even know what good education looks like now. But I always teach, when I teach the history of education, I look back at the first 200 years of this nation from 1607 to roughly the 1830s. That's what good education looked like. That's the period of time to look back where the Bible was, you know, people start, you know, learn how to read from the Bible. They learn classics of literature, you know, the best of classics that stood the test of time because they were the best. They learned, you know, true history. You know, the humanism and the Marxism and secularism and now this horrendous sexual stuff that we see today, it was no part of that. And that's what we need to return to. And that's what we do within Principal Approach Education. We basically go back to it's not rocket science. You know, good education has been done for thousands of years, but we've really gone off the rails in this country. You know, John Dewey and the progressives gave us, you know, they purposely wanted to get rid of God and the Bible and anything resembling Christian principles, and they've been very, very successful in that. And we're seeing the culmination of that now, and it's grievous to me. But as Christian parents, we've got to embrace what is the best for them, and we can do it. I mean, it's with homeschooling and online and you know, curriculum available as widely as available to parents as it is, it's really attainable to the average family now. They can do it.
All right. Well, look, we got a lot of people on the line. They want to ask you some questions. So let's get right to them. Let's go to the first question. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hello, Max. This is Dr. Marlene McMillan in Texas.
Hey Marlene. Hey.
Blessings. EW, thank you for having Max on. I promote Max and Margie's books on my webinars. We do have some disagreements about tax credits versus vouchers and all of that. But I want to encourage our listeners that parents really have more choice than they realize. The public schools are weak and vulnerable and really ready for collapse if people will just see that. It's never been a good system. It's not a good system. It was founded on false premises. And I know it's politically incorrect to say such things in public, but I'm daring to here. I want to bring up that vouchers are a form of a net to catch the Christians into part of a data collection program for the social credit score. That's one point. And the other, I'm kind of putting out the cautions here about this idea also, they say, well, the money follows the child. Well, what really is happening is that breaks up the family, and if you read the details carefully, it sets things up for the child to have a separate estate. So school is expensive, education is cheap, and control follows money, and he who pays controls. So, Max, take it wherever you want to go.
Thank you, Marlene.
Well, you said we disagreed a little bit. I didn't hear anything that I didn't. That I disagree with. I think that's perfect. You kind of just added to my argument there. Thank you, Marlene.
All right, let's take the next one.
I'm on a call. Hello, it's John in Richmond. Couple things. I agree there's a concern about the entanglement with the government money. At the same time, there are tens of millions of students, children, families who cannot afford, if they don't pay taxes at most of them at this point, or very little. They don't have the money personally in any situation to be able to pay for private schooling. So some sort of voucher seems to be important in that context. The other thing is I'm partly a product of private schools. I am totally for private education. At the same time, I think we need to realize there are, it's probably millions or million or more conservative voters die every year. That is elderly people who die. They are by and large conservative. And every year we have millions of young people who become voters, 18, who are progressive types, who've been educated to be progressives. We have to get as many of our people into private schools as we can, but I think at the same time we have to continue the fight to change the public schools. Although the way the numbers are going, we're going to lose our country before we have enough people raised in private schools. We've got to try at the same time to change what's happening.
All right, John, got it. Let's let Max respond to that.
Well, one thing I didn't mention is I think the church has a responsibility too. And again, I'd be glad to send people information on this. There's a church Christian education scholarship program that actually started in my church about 17 years ago, and I'm Christian Education Initiative, CEI, is promoting this, and I'm promoting this. We don't get any money from it. We just think that churches, if you don't have a Christian school or not involved in a Christian school or supporting a homeschool group in some way, this is a way that you can assist the members of your church that need a little extra help to be able to give their children a biblically based education. It's a great program. We've been able to gift families with over $400,000 over that period of time for scholarships for Christian education. So that's
wow.
Another thing to think, you know, this is an all hands on deck thing. I think, you know, the discipleship of the next generation.
Amen. Amen. Let's take the next question. You are on. Erin?
Yes, can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can hear you just fine, Erin.
Oh, okay, great. I wasn't sure if my mute was on or not. No, very quickly, I'm very supportive of Christian schools. My church has a school. My concern, though, is those religious schools that are totally focused and Muslim-oriented. I'm concerned about those kind of schools.
Mm. Okay, Erin, you and I need to talk too, but that's another matter. But thank you for the call, Erin. Thank you for the question.
Yeah, Max? I understand. If I understand the question correctly, you know, we're talking about schools that are, there's Christian schools and there's some schools that are focused on training Muslims. You know, if I understand the question correctly, you know, I mean, our nation is, a private school is a private school. You know, you can, if someone wants to have a school to teach, you know, Catholic children, we have Catholic schools. And, I mean, ideally, we should have as many children in Christian education as possible. But if people of other faiths want to have their private schools, and you know, that's not a problem in our nation. But really, the problem, I think, is taking our taxpayer-funded money and funding these schools that are totally secular, totally Marxist, and in the last couple of years have just gone absolutely, you know, bananas with this sexual stuff and critical race theory. That's a huge problem because that, in my mind, that's an establishment religion. We've got the religion of Marxism, and we're all supporting that. As you know, our property tax, half of my property tax bill is going to the government schools, and yours probably is too. So that's where the problem is, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that gets to the broader issue of redeeming our entire culture, because in one way or another, people who are anti-American, anti-God, anti-Christian, they're out there. And, we, you know, they have a right to have bizarre ideas. We just got to create a culture in which those ideas can't take root as these ideas are taking now, seeming to take over the entire culture. But thank you for that question, Erin. It's a very relevant one. Okay, let's take another one.
Hi, this is Jim Crawford from Maryland. And in the vein and spirit of follow the money you mentioned earlier, I was my question revolves around the power of the teachers union, the National Teachers Union. You mentioned the legislators and lawyers who write these bills and laws, and so many of them are funded by either cultural socialists or the teachers union nationally. and they wind up being obviously indebted to them. And I'm wondering if you can address, is there any sort of a thing, an alternative path that we might be able to take to lessen some of the effect and the impact of all the money that goes into these politicians from the teachers union?
All right. Thanks for the question.
A resource that I would recommend, one of the first books I ever read on Christian education was Sam Blumenfeld's. The title of the book is NEA, Trojan Horse in American Education. And among other things, he exposed the National Education Association and way too much to go into, in a few minutes here. But yes, the education unions, my goodness, they have tremendous power. They wield tremendous power over everything, the philosophy, the curriculum, the methodology. But I have to admit, I'm not a school reformer, so I'm not going to spend my time trying to address teacher unions and school boards and all that. I believe in jurisdiction. It's not the jurisdiction of civil government to educate children, period. So that's something that's responsibility of parents primarily and churches and pastors secondarily. So I understand the people that are working, you know, to reform government schools. I've got friends doing that. They have good hearts and everything, but that's not what God has called me to. And I think that ultimately those efforts are going to fail because you can't reform something that's not biblical. What we need to do is work to disestablishment or to defund it so we can get back to education as God designed it to be.
Amen. And as a practical matter, depending on where you live, if you have right to work laws in your state so that people cannot be forced to join a union, that diminishes the power of the teachers union because they make their money on forcing people. Once you get the job, you are automatically a member of the union. They automatically take money out of your paycheck. And, of course, that gives them millions, some hundreds of millions of dollars to spend advancing their agenda. So that's one way, indirectly, of limiting their power. Because, look, they're right, Max. In the meantime, they're continuing to raise up an army of people with this sort of godless, anti-American mentality that we have to confront at some point. And often, by the time we confront them, they're in positions of power. So in that sense, I know that's not your calling. I don't really believe it's mine either. But we can't forget the fact that there's a factory out there producing little Marxists to take over the country for the future. Wow. Let's go to let's try to take a couple more. Get a couple more in before 12:45.
I'd be wondering about grandparents and the rights of other taxpayers as far as, the issue of vouchers or whatever. To designate that their tax dollars can go to education instead of indoctrination, how do we achieve that instead of just parents having the ability to, use their own money? What about if other taxpayers can say, no, I don't want any money going to Virginia Department of Education. I want it all going to Christian education, which I consider to be real education. How do we achieve that in the law and so forth?
Thank you.
Well, that's a very good question and a good point. And again, I'll reiterate something I said earlier. I believe the solution to this is in the tax law. And I really had that seed in my mind, but my good friend Shan Menon, who's an attorney and working in this area, he said that to me recently. And I'm thinking we need to just get the best minds together in the country on this whole aspect of school choice and that which is the best for us that doesn't entangle us necessarily with the government, and work up some model legislation because this is a hot topic. All the states are working, not all, but majority. Well, maybe they all are, are working on this, right? Including right here in Virginia. So. It's now's the opportunity, and I know yeah, I don't have all the answers because I'm not a lawyer and able to put together these laws the way they should be put together. But I think we have good minds and good people that could do so. But I agree with the caller on that one. That's something that should be considered. A lot of grandparents help out with their children's Christian education. I can tell you that right now. A lot of grandparents are involved.
And I was going to say, and in a state like Virginia, where you can get a tax credit for paying for a child's education or contributing to one of these funds, I would assume grandparents could participate in that, right? I'm not sure how the program works,
yeah,
frankly.
Yeah, yes, sir. Individuals as well as businesses, anyone. You don't have to have children. Anyone. So the way it works, real quick, I decided to give to this program, and I've done it for 4 years now. So I sent a check to a scholarship organization, and I designated it to Stonebridge School because I worked there for 19 years, and my three children graduated from there, and I love the school. So I send money to a scholarship organization. I tell them I want it to go to Stonebridge School. They do so. And then at tax time for next year, I get to take 60% of that. Is it 60 or 65? 65% tax credit. I also get to take it off, and that's a credit. That's not a deduction. So it's a credit against my Virginia state taxes. And then I also get to take it on my federal taxes. If I itemize, I get to take it as a charitable deduction. So the 65% could actually be even higher. That's how that program works, and any individual can do it, and any business can do it as well.
Now, do you have to give the money to the scholarship organization? Suppose you donated the money directly to Stonebridge, would you still be entitled to the credit?
You have to go through one of the – there's like 25 or 30 scholarship organizations in Virginia. But you can tell them where – you can tell them where you want it to go. You can designate the school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how it works.
We Max, this has been outstanding. We are out of time. If people want to follow you, see what you're writing, find out more about the principal approach, the Foundation for Christian Education, for American Christian Education, tell them again exactly how to connect.
They can connect with me directly at max@face, that's F-A-C-E, .net. That's my personal email, or they can go to our website at face.net. We welcome to help you in any way that we can.
All right. Well, listen, you certainly helped us because this is National School Choice Week, and obviously we are in an educational crisis in our country, and we've got to get our kids, Christian kids at the very least, but I'd say American kids in general, out of that system and into a real education. So thank you, Max, for all that you're doing to make that happen. God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, folks, just before we go, let me just make a couple of announcements. One is that I will be in Dallas, Texas this coming Sunday at First Baptist Church at 5:30 p.m., I'll be speaking there and signing books there. So if you're in the Dallas area, stop by and see us. I would love to meet you. There's background noise. Can we shut that down, please? The second thing I want to say is we are in a major push for 500 Patriot partners for this organization to keep going the things that we are doing. You can become a Patriot partner for a minimum of $25 a month, and I will send you a free signed and numbered copy of my book, Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves. Now, you can get the book. If you don't want to do that, you're not able to do that, you can get the book at faithfultext.com at a 15% discount. It retails for $29. It is a hardcover book, or you can buy it wherever books are sold. But if you want to help us, sign up as a Patriot partner. I'll send you a free signed copy of the book, numbered copy of the book. I think the next number up, I think it's 23, if I'm not mistaken. But we're trying to get to 500 Patriot partners in 2023. So anything you can do to help us would be most appreciated. God bless each and every one of you. Stay in the fight because we are winning. I don't care what it looks like. We are winning. winning. You say, well, boy, that's hard to stomach. But you know what? I'm sure that's what George Washington told his troops when it didn't look that way at all. He was telling them, we are winning. And they did. And we're going to win this fight for our country, too. So God bless each and every one of you. Stand up, step up, speak up. By the way, I will be on the radio here in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, on American Family Radio, AFR.net. You can download the app or you go to AFR.net to live stream any of our programming. So I will be on at I'm on Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on American Family Radio. So, yeah, stand up, step up, speak up. Refuse to back up, because if you compromise, they take territory and they'll never give it back. But we're going to win because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.